You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hockey at the Rock. My name is Dan Rozelle, and as always, I'm joined by John Fisher. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dan.
I'm feeling a certain level of acceptance about this Devil season at this point. And I think this week has been a very good summary of the team this team could be, but showing all the things that are holding them back. And so what I mean by that is that in the week that was, the Devils beat the Colorado Avalanche, lost to the Calgary Flames, and lost in overtime to the Carolina Hurricanes. And the two losses came for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. And the win was almost, you know, it was very close to not being a win at all. So
yeah,
a lot happened this week in terms of what we think the Devils could be. Because honestly, I have to say, overall this week, their defense, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually... See, here's the thing. On its own, if we just took the week on its own, the Devils went 1-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last game was an overtime loss. It could literally could have gone either way. You would go, okay, not the best, but not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But given the context of the season so far, the Devils cannot afford a whole lot of not bad weeks.
No,
they need
agreed.
To be very good weeks.
You can have and a week like this if you beat Anaheim, San Jose, and Montreal at home. If
yeah,
you don't do that, you're not allowed to have weeks like this.
Exactly. And this, and we can run through the gamut of other winnable losses, like the Montreal game last month, coming up lame right before the All-Star break to Carolina and Tampa Bay. We can go down the list, but we're not going to go down the list, Dan. We're going to focus on what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, the Avalanche game. So the Avalanche, Dan, we're coming off a overtime loss to our hated rivals.
Mm-hmm.
Devils came out pretty slowly in the first 10 minutes and, of course, would give up the first goal. But the Devils responded with Chris Tierney's first goal as a Devil,
mm-hmm.
a tip-in of a Simo Nemec shot. And the Devils acquitted themselves quite well going into the second period, where they legitimately outplayed Colorado very well. Jesper Bratt finished a 2-on-1. Dawson Mercer poked in a loose puck after Eric Halla failed to score a gimme in front of the net. You're up 3-1. You're looking pretty good, Dan. Pretty strong.
Yeah, and then 28 seconds later, you're not.
Hmm? No. That's the third period, Dan.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry, I meant third within an interval of 28 seconds.
Oh, yeah. The Devils as a whole, you're up 3-1, and Colorado really pushed the tempo here. And the thing about Colorado is that they're very similar to the Devils in that they're a very fast team.
Mm-hmm.
They're very quick to react, and they love to catch teams in transition. And the Devils had a lot of problems with Colorado in the third period. But you're absolutely right. A 28-second spell in a 4-on-4 situation.
4-on-4, where the Devils usually thrive, by the way. But again, Jack Hughes wasn't quite back for this game yet.
No.
He's a big engine for that open ice play that the Devils are kind of known for at this point, in overtime especially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they completely got dominated in that span.
Not only did they get dominated, it led to goals. And Vanacek, mind you, was having a really good game in this one.
Yep.
That third period in particular, he stuffed Nathan MacKinnon multiple times. MacKinnon has been on an absolute rager of a heater, a towering inferno, if you will.
I noticed you used the word was, though, John.
Yeah, he did not get a point in this one. He really could have. He came very, very close a couple times. Mm-hmm. Luke Hughes had him in his pocket sometimes, and then the few times he broke away from Luke Hughes, Vanacek came up with a save. But in these 28 seconds, Dan, Arturi Lehkonen pretty much crunched Luke Hughes behind the net. And Vitek Vanacek, for some inexplicable reason, is not at the right post. He's just standing up. So the puck comes out in front, man. And Cale Makar just taps it in. And I'm just like, oh, bro.
I don't know this guy. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to be like, hey, stay in the net, man.
Well, he was staying in the net. He just wasn't paying attention.
Well, again, where is the puck going to go except to the opposite side? Like, where else could it possibly go? I don't know. He's not looking. And it hit him anyway, and it still went in.
Again, I understand, the play was rimming around the corner. But as a goaltender, you're not just going to be standing up assuming your guy's going to collect it. Like, you have to assume in a 4-on-4 with the way Colorado was playing, hey, be prepared if it comes out the right side, which it did.
Yeah.
In any case, 3-2, right? Next shift, Colorado dominates. Long shot from Drouin. Not a long shot from Drouin. Drouin sets up Sam Girard for a long shot. Mm-hmm. And Vanacek is too deep in the net. His glove hand, which has been noticeably slow this season,
gets beat.
It's 3-3.
I haven't seen him make a glove save. Well, you know what? I'm gonna take that back because we did see him make some glove saves.
He did.
And like you said, up until that point, he was pretty good in this game. And at 3-3, you would expect the Devils to kind of be like, well, we've seen this before. This is the classic collapse.
MacKinnon broke away from Luke Hughes. Mm-hmm. Vanacek miraculously comes up with a big stop.
Actually, huge.
Legitimately huge. That's the frustrating thing about Vanacek in this game and as a season this whole, is that he is capable of putting up big performances, but then he has a minute or so, or he has a couple moments where it's just like, my dude, are you meant to be in Utica? Like, what is this?
Well, he'll make the best save you've seen in your life once per game and then let up 3 soft goals glove side.
Possibly. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Anyway, late in the game, John Marino decides to activate, goes for a wrap. Doesn't work, but it actually yields a potential jam play for Bratt, but he gets denied. He flings it out to Heischer, but Marino correctly stays in the slot. Heischer sets him up. Marino blasts in the one-timer, so within the final few minutes, the Devils are up 4-3.
Huge goal for the team. Huge goal for Marino. You can tell how much they all really wanted that one. And they held strong.
They held strong. Out of their 4 shots on net in the third period, 2 of them went in. That was one of them. And Eric Hall put in an empty netter for the 5-3 final. There were many comments on my site and elsewhere that felt that this saved the season. Mm. And you got a sense of that because, Colorado is a legitimately good team. You got to see how incredibly fearsome they could be. Even playing the night prior, they were very quick. They played with a lot of energy. And, Colorado has something to play for, too. Like, it's a tight race at the top of the Central. But the Devils denied MacKinnon's point streak at 14 games.
And in got a late the post-game goal. Report, right? Like, they mentioned that last year they felt that it was the Colorado game that they won in a close one. Again, I think that was a 1-0 Vanacek win also.
Yeah, Jack Hughes.
I remember watching that one. But they cited that game as the point where it really started to come together and they thought they could really have something. And so we all thought, that's pretty good. That's pretty great. And to their credit, I'm going to give them some credit, the team as a whole, not one guy. But the next game against Calgary, this is an extremely winnable game. Calgary is not one very of the winnable. Best teams in the West. You've beaten them before. You're very familiar with who they are and who they have. This is a game that you should win if you have playoff aspirations, especially at home. And they didn't.
No. And the sad thing is that for the most part, the Devils did a lot of things right in this game. They actually scored the first goal. That's rare for them. Yeah. Which is also part of the problem with the Devils this season. But no, Andrej Palat puts in a puck. Good. Devils are attacking well against Jacob Markstrom. Markstrom's playing really well. I know he's a popular trade target, given everybody in the league that needs a goaltender like the Devils. But Backstrom, I guess, did well in his audition, so to speak. But again, we saw the Devils, the swarm defense fail miserably. Andrew Mangiapane's open behind the net, feeds it open to a wide open Mikael Backlund at the post. And Vanecek is just a half second too slow to get across. Puck goes in off his shoulder. It's 1-1 late in the first period. Mm-hmm. And then, Dan, disaster struck in the second period. Misplay on offense led to an attack.
It's just
the attack was handled.
Like, this is the perfect example of why these goals are just so deflating. Like, they're playing so well up until this point. And, man, like, everyone in the rink except Vanecek knew where that puck was going, far side of the post. On the second one, everybody saw the puck except for him, who didn't know that he had squeezed it.
Well, the Devils players assumed he caught it. And I think most people assumed it too, because 99.9% of the time you see the goalie crouch in that position. He catches the puck and he goes, okay, I got it. Yep. Dazim Kadri's shot, top of the right circle. Vanecek catches it and then it squirts through and it's sitting behind him like he just pooped it out. Mm-hmm. It's literally sitting behind his butt. Connor Zary, goes for the tap in. And looks like he scored, he looks a fjork, as he should. He got a magical gift to make it 2-1. Mm-hmm. I understand after the game there were criticisms. Oh, Santeri Hataka should have tied him up. Like, my dude, I understand the Devils assumed their goaltender caught the puck because you expect your goaltender to catch the puck in that situation. That's absolutely all on Vanecek. That is a Vanecek failure.
Criticizing Santeri Hataka, who has actually done a pretty decent job in terms of being an emergency call-up. I think he hasn't looked too out of place, and he looks more similar to how he did in the preseason than a lot of the other players do. So,
yeah, he was one of those guys that I thought he had a shot at some point of making the team, because mm-hmm. he did play games in the NHL with San Jose. Not many, but he did. And he had the profile of, somebody who would be a call-up guy. He's not going to wow you or give you flashy stuff, but if you need somebody to give you 16 solid minutes of play, similar to a Colin Miller, similar to a Brendan Smith when he's having a good game, he could do that. And he has been doing that for the most part. I think, honestly, some of the criticism of Hataka was mostly because the MSG broadcast doesn't like to be very critical of their teams, regardless if they're the Devils, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Knicks, trying to remember who else MSG airs. But the point is, they tend not to be very critical, even though everyone and their mother knew that was a Vanecek screw up. It did not get better, because once again, John Marino got boxed out by a player he should not be being boxed out by legendary ex-Devil Kevin Rooney.
Kevin Rooney, like, really,
for his first of the season.
Oh my God.
He gets inside position on Marino. Marino's not tying up a stick. And Vanecek is on his goal line, completely unaware that the puck is at his feet and his legs are open. This may shock you that Rooney jammed in the puck. 2:55 in the third period, you're down 3-1. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to deviate a little bit here, Dan. After the game, somebody asked Lindy Ruff, did you think about pulling Vanecek in this game? And Ruff's answer was very curious. He said, I thought about it after the third goal, but then I thought, Dawsy hasn't played in a while. You're the reason why Dawes hasn't played in a while.
Also, if you're like, why is Dawes up here then if you're not going to play him? Vanecek started as of yesterday, 4 straight games. So
yeah,
when else?
Yeah, exactly. So in any case, veteran Eric Holla decided to make a bad situation worse by taking a double minor for high sticking on the next shift after Rooney's goal. Mm-hmm. But then the Devils got a break.
Yeah.
Nico Hischier broke away and scored a shorthanded goal.
Huge. It was lovely. Rare for the Devils this year.
Yeah. 3-2. And the Devils kill the penalty. Also good. But then
momentum has swung in our direction, John.
No, it has not.
Well,
because
until this.
Because Noah Hanifin, who had a good game. I know he's another popular player on the trade block. Fires a long shot on Vanecek, and Vanecek earned the nickname of pinball flippers by some of the people who matter on my site for exactly this type of play, where he kicks out this rebound fat and juicy to the slot. Andrei Kuzmenko, recent acquired from Vancouver for Calgary, gets this puck ahead of Kevin Ball, sweeps around, and slides it through the legs of Vanecek. 4-2.
It's so bad. It's so bad, especially if you're thinking of pulling him after two, and you don't, yeah. And then you see the third one, and you're like, no.
Yeah. You can forgive the Backlund goal, because that was, you know, wide open one-timer. He's going post to post. But the Zari goal was a bad goal to allow. The Rooney jam play was a bad one to allow. And this one was just, my dude, why were you kicking it into the slot? Yes, Kevin Ball would look like slow as molasses, but it's not Kevin Ball's fault there. That's Vanecek.
That was rough to watch, especially, again, the best word I think I have for this season as a whole, and not in the same way that like the late 2010 seasons were, in the sense that like, oh no, this team, this is really all they have. No, this is frustrating in a different sense of like, they can show so much of what they can be, but there's just such little things holding them back that compound into big snowbally, disastrophes. And
yeah,
at this point, you'd think that with Vanecek having the game he did against Calgary, despite the Devils even crawling back one closer as they usually do, the next game wouldn't have been his. But I guess Lindy Ruff knew something, because honestly, this was maybe his best game of the season.
It was. Now, just to put a bullet point to add to Vanecek's bad night in Calgary against Calgary, he somehow decided to tackle a flame after coming out of the net and not winning the puck. Somehow they wiped up the goal off the board, but then Tyler Toffoli bobbled a puck with the net empty, and Andrew Mangiapane ate that bread and got an empty netter for a 5-3 loss that disappointed everybody. And as you said earlier, you know, if you're a team with playoff aspirations, you got 40 shots on net, you got goals past Markstrom. My dude, Vanecek lost you that game. So it led to a lot of the people who matter, such as myself, very irate when they saw that Vanecek was starting in Carolina last night. But as you said, Dan, it was legitimately his best game yet.
And not only that, like, I want to commend the team too, because it wasn't just his best game, but it also didn't have to be with the way they were finally playing defense, in the sense that they finally learned to clear the area in front of the net. They were finally paying attention to things like that. It seemed like the practice that they had right before, where that was the emphasis, made a big difference. And honestly, like, I was happy to see that they looked more like last year, because regardless of the result, Vanecek was playing well. And he was making saves in tough situations, but also the team was doing a lot to clear the net in front of him. They were doing a lot to be more attentive than they had been in games prior. And so that was nice to see. It's just, you know, it's one of those where this is a disappointing result to lose in overtime the way they did. But in any other season, if they had been playing like that most of the year, they wouldn't have been in a position to be disappointed that they dropped a point here. But now we can be extremely disappointed.
Yeah. And just to put a, you know, just to add, you know, because I think you're soft selling it a little bit. The one goal in this game that came in overtime. So that meant Vanecek and Pyotr Kochetkov, who, by the way, on the same night that Vanecek had his awful night, Kochetkov gave up a goal from center ice.
Mm-hmm.
Like he misread a dump in by Colorado. It was a fake dump in attempt and it went off his glove and in. He was just standing and like, oh, he got pulled after that one, but an injury, Toronto meant he had to go back in. So anyway, Kochetkov and Vanecek played very well in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They took the game to overtime with zero goals allowed. That's your goaltender. You know, goaltending clearly did their job. And the one goal that beat Vanecek in overtime, it was a rising shot by Martin Necas. And Vanecek correctly stops it by, you know, getting his board on his waffle board, his blocker on it. Aho, who's crashing the net, just bats it in midair he's Sidney Crosby. Like, yes, I understand there's, you know, how come he didn't, you know, why didn't Vanecek play it to the corner? Like, my dude, you can't put that type of puck to the corner. And also,
I mean, that's a tough goal anyway. Like,
yeah, like this sometimes. This is like, I don't, like, if there's a goal to be mad about, this isn't it, my dude. Like, this is more Aho did something special than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, but as you said earlier, because you had all those bad losses earlier this season, and that loss to Calgary most recently, you know, because of those losses, the Devils are in a position where they really need wins. And so only getting a point against a team they're kind of not really chasing anymore, unfortunately, hurts, you know, especially on a night where other teams were losing and the Devils could have made up some ground. with a second point. But I mean, full credit to the Devils. They played, you know, Carolina was definitely the better team in terms of 5-on-5 for sure. Like, they attacked more often, they got more chances. But, you know, the Devils held with him shot for shot. Mm-hmm. And again, Vanecek goalied the Canes just as much as Kachetkov goalied the Devils. The Devils mm-hmm. drew four penalties. That's actually led to another frustrating thing, the holding the Devils back, at least for the past 2 months.
Their power play is terrible now.
Yeah, the power play. I thought that maybe the return of Jack Hughes, who returned in the Calgary game, would have been a big help. And in a sense, it did, because now the power play can get some like shots on net.
Yeah.
But it's still in that situation where maybe they give you a good 30 seconds out of 2 minutes when that's not going to do the business.
It's one of those areas where like you really, really miss Dougie Hamilton, not just because like it shifts the threat potential on power play one and power play two. If you can split up, you know, Luke Hughes a little bit, maybe you keep him on one, but then you have Dougie on two. That's just a big threat of a shot to have that they don't really have in any of their current defensemen, except that's why they kind of play Colin Miller there sometimes. I think that's the equivalent of what you're trying to do, but they're not the same guy.
No, like Luke Hughes and Simo Nemec are very special players, but they don't have the big shot from the back.
And just the threat of that alone is going to make teams adjust differently to that. And so Dougie, I think that's where the team feels his absence the most.
I agree. And I think a big part of it is, and this is actually a general theme for my frustration with the Devils this season, is they're trying a lot of the same stuff, regardless of how it's working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, I get the idea of, you know, you're just in a slump, you just got to play through it. But the reality is with this power play, which is now 0 for its last 22, its last power play goal, I believe, was in that bad loss to Montreal, which was, you know, January 17th, like mm-hmm. we're almost a month between power play goals at this rate, unless I'm completely forgetting about one off the top of my head. No, I'm not forgetting about one. That is the last time they scored a power play goal. So you're now, you know, in a game like this one where the Devils got four power plays, Timo Meier didn't get a shot on net, but he drew three power plays. Like,
yeah,
it's not like he was a complete waste of time. You know, look, Kachetkov did make some good stops. There were some good looks, but you need a goal at this point. You just mm-hmm. need it. It's you know, if it wasn't for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the same division who have literally the same problem, except it's been stretched out to 4 months. You know, the power play in a sense is holding you back. And to your larger point, is it the biggest thing in the world holding back? No, but combined with the bad goaltending, the stubborn attention, you know, the stubborn ways of not adjusting to the opponent or asking your injury ravaged team to do something a little more conservatively and easier on them, you know, it all adds up to a season that may be becoming lost sooner rather than later. And unfortunately for the Devils,
well,
they don't have a lot of time to breathe here.
I just want to say, as much as your goalie giving up a bad goal gives up your momentum in a game, the power play not being able to perform does the exact same thing. Like, I don't want to like underemphasize the fact that the early on in the season when things weren't going well at 5-on-5, their power play got them back into games and changed the momentum, and you felt absolutely. That shift happen. Now that it's completely gone, they can't build on leads, they can't regain leads, and they can't catch up using what had been like a great strength for them. And now they're out of the top five in power play percentage, I believe.
They are, yeah. It took a while, but they fell out. And worse than that, Dan, is that other teams now have the, you know, they can do bad things to the Devils, and the Devils can't punish them for it. Mm-hmm. I do the weekly snapshot, and it's a very common phrase where, you know, six out of eight teams take a penalty and they get punished for it, you know, against you know the metropolitan teams, but the Devils can't. So what other, you know, if you're sitting there at home and you're talking like you're Ken Danico going about, oh, I don't like how the other teams take liberties with the Devils, well, you're not scoring any goals to punish them, so you know it's not going to stop. You know, so I mean, and in a game like this where one goal literally would have won this game, it sucks, and it sucks more for Vanecek, because again, I'll take the L here, Dan. I thought it was a stupid call by Ruff to start Vanecek, but Vanecek mm-hmm. played a great game. I'm wrong. I was wrong about that. Ruff made the right decision in that respect, even risky as it was. But again, the Kachetkov was unfortunately better on this night.
Yeah, and that at the end of the day, that's all this game specifically boils down to. But again, we're out of a level of tolerance for this. So there can't be many more lost points going down the stretch here, and so
yeah,
let me just highlight left. Yeah,
Yeah, let me just run down what it looks like in the standings right now. So with the point, they're actually now in fifth place. They actually moved up a spot because Pittsburgh and Washington had worse weeks.
Nice.
And the Devils are within striking distance of the Islanders. The problem is that that's not good enough. Right now, your wildcard teams are the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings at 60 points, respectively. Detroit has one more game played than the Devils. The Devils have played as many games as Toronto. And they're so the Devils are currently 6 points back at both of those teams. And by the way, you have to pay attention to the Tampa Bay Lightning because the Tampa Bay Lightning have 61 points in 53 games. So, you know, it's a tight race in the Atlantic. And unfortunately, that's blocking out the wildcard spots for the Metropolitan. And 6 points back is a massive lead. It doesn't sound like much, but it really is. It's three games. And then the Philadelphia Flyers, who entered the All-Star break with a 5-game losing streak. Well, Dan, they're on a 3-game winning streak now.
Hooray.
They have 62 points now with 53 games. So even if the Devils win all three games in hand, so what? The Devils are going to end up being 2 points behind the Flyers. And that's actually incredibly relevant to this week coming up, Dan.
The stadium series game.
That's right. The Joe Bros are going to be playing. It got announced that the Gaslight Anthem is going to play not only in the first intermission, but they're going to play the Howl, the Devil's Goal song, live every time the Devils score a goal.
Well, let's hope that they play it a lot. Let's keep these men employed.
Yeah. I mean, the Gaslight Anthem's over the moon after being compared to years of being, you know, a pop punk band that just loves Bruce Springsteen too much. They actually did a collaboration with Bruce Springsteen a couple of years ago. So in a sense, New Brunswick's own, I'm not going to say they're bigger than My Chemical Romance, but
I mean, come on,
you know, they're not terribly far off. I'll just say that much.
All right, fine. Anyway, I don't think that's true, but sure, go ahead.
Actually, yeah, you're right. The minute I said that, I'm like, yeah, MCR could fill an arena MCR could fill an arena right now. The Gaslight Anthem, it depends on the other bands on the bill. Anyway.
Not to disparage them, but this is their moment to play Howl a lot as the Devils try to score goals and bridge the gap between themselves and the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, yeah. Again, this Stadium Series games isn't just a showcase game and a chance to get 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium in February. It's also an important game for both teams. Unfortunately for the Devils, the Flyers have a light week coming up. They only play one game before this Stadium Series game. The Devils, on the other hand, get to play three games in 4 nights.
Nice.
Including a dreaded back-to-back set.
Monday, so, Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. They get to host Seattle, who just lost to Philly on Monday night. And then the Devils get to go down to Nashville to play Andrew Brunette and the Nashville Predators, who are in playoff contention, Dan. They are neck and neck with St. Louis and now Calgary, by the way, for a wild card spot.
I think we've said it before. I think at this point, with the schedule that the Devils have remaining and how they've been so far, if they make the playoffs, they will have earned it. I'm actually more interested to see how they would do after going through a season like this than last season, where they were pretty much in control from the jump. And I don't know. It's a very different situation. It feels like it'll be more of a slog and process, but maybe they'll grow more on the pathway there, but you still have to get in.
Exactly. And for all the complaints of your scoreboard watching too early, no, my dude. Anyway,
these points come back to haunt you anyway,
and that means the Devils really do need to get, you know, they need to end this second half of back-to-back slump. I know that's an awkward title for it, but they just have to end it. And Nashville's not a bad team. Like I said, they're in playoff contention. They have reason to play. Andrew Brunette has his charges playing well enough when most people expected them to be not so good this season. I mean, John Tortorella is probably running away with the Jack Adams Trophy at this rate, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brunette was a finalist. I'll say that much. Anyway,
fantastic that the next couple of matchups. But anyway,
yeah. By the way, where was Brunette last season?
Where was Brunette behind the Devil's bench?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying. Anyways. So after that back-to-back set, the Devils will then go and host Los Angeles on Thursday night. And that's a weird one, because if you asked me this like a month ago, I would have said, oh, that's a tough matchup, because the Kings were, and in a sense still are, an excellent road team. They actually had the best road record in hockey. But the Kings have suddenly fallen apart over the past month or so. Mm-hmm. And so instead of, you know, I mean, granted, the Edmonton Oilers have been on the heater of heaters, you know, for 2 months straight. But the Kings are now suddenly in the wild card battle, and there's a chance they could fall out. I mean, they've won a couple games recently, but they are an awful home team like the Devils. They're much better on the road. But again, the Kings, similar to the Devils, their goaltending is a complete question mark. You don't know what type of effort you're going to get every night from them. Yeah, they can outscore their problems, but, you know, their recent form has just been very questionable. So it's an open question. All that being said, the Devils really do need to get a win over LA, and they got to win that stadium series game, Dan. They have to. Mm-hmm. They're playing a team they are directly chasing. In fact, I will go as far as to say, if the Devils want to go on a heater for the first time this season, this is really the best time to do it, because you got the four games with this week I just mentioned. After this week, you get a big game in Washington, D.C. on the 20th. And then our hated rivals on the 22nd, and then a back-to-back set on the weekend afternoon, bring your kids, Montreal and Tampa Bay at home. And then you go on your California road trip. Now's the time to get hot. Because as you said, if you don't, it's going to be a real slog. And if you really blow it, that's your season. You're not even making it to the trade deadline with playoff aspirations.
Yeah, and we'll address all the trade deadline stuff as it gets closer, but I think that's a good place to wrap for now. Yeah. As the Devils continue this tough schedule, but we're all looking forward to the Stadium Series game. The jerseys, I mean, I think they're okay. The problem with them is that no one will be able to wear them by the time the game happens.
Yeah, because Fanatics and Adidas are just terrible at merchandise.
God, Fanatics is
how do you awful. Leave money on the table? Your job awful, is literally awful, to sell awful. Stuff. Like anyway. who says, hey, I want to buy a jersey? Nah, we're not going to restock it. You're not going to restock it. Like, turn on the factories. Open a line. Like, what are you doing?
Well, regardless, we're not in charge of that. We're here to talk about hockey. But thank you all for listening to us do that for the 22nd time in this version of the podcast, and we'll be back as the Devils continue their schedule. And as always, let's go Devils.
Go Devils.
See you next time.